Well, friends, we are in the month of June, and many people know June as Pride Month. For some, this means a time of great celebration. For others, it's an annoyance. For others, it's downright offensive. The Bible says a lot about pride, and every single reference to being proud or having pride is negative. According to Christian tradition, pride was the very first sin. Even before humans were created, it is said that Satan fell from heaven for wanting to be like God. And then when humans were created, we know from the scriptures that they too very quickly fell into the sin of pride, wanting to be like God. Pride is never positive in God's eyes. And it doesn't matter what kind of pride it is. It doesn't matter if it's pride in who you are or in what you do. It is all condemned. And yet pride is the most common and stubborn of all sins. It's the root of a whole lot of other things. It's the root of idolatry. It is the root of greed. It is the root of so many other things because it starts with pride. According to Psalm 6:17, it is the number one thing that God hates. In that list of sins, God says haughty eyes is number one. Haughty eyes is pride. In contrast, what is praised and rewarded in Scripture is humility and total dependence upon God. Over and over, we are called to humble ourselves, to deny ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves for other people, to be completely and totally dependent upon God for everything, including our identity. Our Romans passage this morning, at the end of it, speaks of boasting, that we have absolutely no reason at all to boast because we're all sinners. We are all only ever justified by Jesus Christ. In fact, when Paul writes boasting in his other epistles, he says the same thing. For an example, in Ephesians 2:9, he tells us that we can't even boast about our faith because our faith is a gift of God. We can't boast about our salvation because salvation is a gift of God. In 2 Corinthians chapters 10 and 11, Paul says the only thing in which we can boast is Jesus Christ. Now, there are exceptions to boasting about other people. So if you want to say something nice about another person, it's apparently okay. Because Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and 9 about boasting to another congregation about the generosity and helpfulness of the Christians that were in Corinth. He said, I told the Macedonian people about you and all the wonderful things and how you took care of me when I visited you and that you've committed to giving this great pledge of money. And then he goes and saying, okay, now it's time for you to fulfill your word and bring in your pledges. But pride versus humility is exemplified in our gospel reading in Luke today. We have two characters in this parable of Jesus, a Pharisee and a publican or a tax collector, both who went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee is prideful. He's boasting about his accomplishments and trying to justify himself before God. In his prayer, if you can even call it a prayer, because it doesn't have many of the elements that we think of as prayer, there's no praise. There's no petition, there's no confession, and there's no intercession. Those are kind of the elements of prayer that we normally think of. You should praise God for stuff, you should thank God for stuff, confess your sins, ask for yourself, ask for other people. He does none of those. He says, I fast twice a week, I tithe of everything that I've done. I say, I'm not like those other people. Those extortioners, those unjust, those adulterous, and even that tax collector guy over there. I do this. The Pharisee looks great to himself, and he may even look great to other people. We may even compare ourselves to our own selves. Well, I'm not like I used to be. Look how good I am now. However, even whenever we compare ourselves to God and measure ourselves against God's law, those other comparisons mean absolutely nothing. We see that justification only comes by faith in Jesus Christ, as we heard again in our Romans passage today. The law, God says, is to shut our mouths. And we don't want to put ourselves under the law. We saw that last week. That the law is there to show us just how far we fall short of God's standards. Self-righteousness ends in self-condemnation. Self-righteousness and self-justification, after all, are forms of pride. I admit that I can easily fall into this type of pride. I try to justify myself. I get defensive. And we are guilty of self-justification when we say, yes, but. How often do we do that? I did that, but. Could have been worse. And we give our excuse. I'm guilty of self-justification when I make comparisons. We may compare ourselves to others and think we're looking pretty good. But self-justification is dangerous pride. In contrast to the Pharisee, the tax collector, though his prayer is only one sentence, it is a prayer. It is a prayer that results in his justification. His posture itself is a posture of humility. The beating of one's breast was usually something that was done by women as a sign of mourning when they were at a funeral or when somebody had died. Dr. Kenneth Bailey, in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, suggests that Jesus' audience would have known that the time of prayer that these two men would have been would about been the afternoon prayer time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This worship service would have included a sacrifice, one of those sins or guilt offerings, a psalm reading, music, and corporate and individual prayers. They would be offered along with incense. The tax collector realizes that even the sacrifice of the lamb or the goat or the birds that he has just made was not enough. He needed God's mercy to save him. His short sentence prayer includes confession, the self-recognition that he is a sinner, and it includes a petition, God, have mercy on me. His hope is in God alone, not in the acts that he has just performed. And he bases his prayer on the character of God, that God is a God of mercy. And God hears and answers his prayer. Psalm 17 is also a prayer. It is a prayer for justice, for justification, for vindication. David is asking for protection from wicked, deadly men who surround him, from enemies who are trying to take his life. When if we read in the first part of this psalm, especially in the NIV translation, it actually can sound a little bit arrogant, perhaps a bit prideful. It sounds as if David is asking God to vindicate him, to justify him on the basis of what he has and hasn't done. He says, I haven't been deceitful. I haven't transgressed with my mouth. I haven't told lies. I've not plotted evil like these other people are doing. My feet have been held on your path. I haven't stumbled. These are some pretty big claims. And regardless of how true or they may be or may not be, we can't ask God to justify us, to answer our prayers on the basis of those things which we have and haven't done. Now, David's prayer isn't anywhere like the Pharisees' prayer, who assumed that he was already justified by the things that he did. But it does seem to be asking God for justification. And I say seems because as we take a closer look at the psalm, we'll see that this is not at all what David is doing. We will see that David although he says, this is, I'm trying to be faithful, and these are the ways that I've been faithful, actually does depend on God for his vindication and his justification. For we remember that our justification only comes from Jesus. Our righteousness is given to us by God and given to all who believe, for there is no difference, there is no room for comparison. If we place our faith in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us, God sees us as righteous, period. We were reminded of this last week as we saw that our consciences are made clean, not by a bunch of religious rituals, but by the blood of Jesus Christ offered to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. God answers prayers based on God's character, not ours. God's mercy and grace are extended to both the seemingly deserving, somebody like David, as well as the seemingly undeserving, like the tax collector, or who we may think is deserving. Who do we think is undeserving? The good news is that the ground is not only level at the foot of the cross, it is also level on the other side of the cross. No one who has been justified by Jesus Christ is a worse sinner than someone else. We are all equally and utterly dependent on the grace of God, a grace which is as full for me as it is for you. We have full access to the grace of God, and there is more than enough amazing grace to go around. A teacher of mine once said that the Psalms are the prayers of Christ and the prayers of Christ in us. Certainly, if we heard Christ praying Psalm 17, he could pray it perfectly. Nothing he said would be an exaggeration at all. It is something, it sounds like something only Christ could honestly pray. Only Christ can protest his full innocence. But David could pray it and did pray it, and so can we if we are in Christ Jesus. We can ask God to examine us and be confident that God will find nothing in us that might hinder our prayer because God sees Christ in us. In the middle of a psalm, David petitions, "Keep me as the apple of your eye." He knows that he cannot keep himself as the apple of God's eye, that he has to depend, if he's going to be able to continue to be faithful, he needs God's help. But he desires that close, intimate relationship with God, and it is because he already has this relationship that he can confidently pray this prayer. He seeks refuge in Yahweh. Obedience will never make us any more justified than we were the first day that we accepted that great gift of grace in Jesus. It doesn't mean that we don't strive to be obedient. It is precisely because we are justified that we obey, and our obedience continues to make us more like Jesus. We are sanctified in our obedience. Obedience is important, it is demanded of God, and it is rewarded, and we have looked at all of those things. If obedience wasn't important, we wouldn't have the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in us. Though our sin is fully paid for, sin is never condoned. It is never excused. Just because our sins are, were, and will be forever forgiven doesn't mean that we can ever excuse them or write them off as insignificant, for that would be to be to diminish the significance of Jesus' sacrifice for us. Indeed, we should avoid wicked and violent ways and give allegiance to the paths of God. Part of this obedience is indeed right speech, not speaking deceitfully, saying what you mean and not being two-faced. Speech is important because, as the scriptures tell us, it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Our speech reflects what's going on inside of us. God judges our hearts. David says his conscience is clear, and he knows that God's not going to find anything in his heart. The night is important because the depths of our hearts are often revealed at night, the things that keep us awake when we can't sleep. Morning brings newness, hope, and symbolizes salvation. There are blessings that are reserved for the obedient, and David confidently looks forward to these things at the end of Psalm 17. In the end, he realizes, as should we, that vindication does not always come in this life, but to live forever in the presence of God is more than enough. The second part of Psalm 17, verse 14 is interesting. This thing he says about those wicked people. It's a difficult text. David asks deliverance from men of the world whose portion is in this life, or whose portion in life is in this world, and whose belly you, Lord, do fill up with your treasure. Is this actually a statement? Is it a prayer, a blessing? Is it a curse? It's connected to verse 13 as a prayer of deliverance. But then David goes on to ask or to state that these people get their portion in this life. He says, you bless them with lots of things. They have lots of treasure. They have enough stuff that they can pass on to their children and their grandchildren. And in a way, this is nothing that these people themselves wouldn't want. Who doesn't want to be rich and have an inheritance that you can pass on to the next couple of generations? But their problem is they can't look past this life for their treasure and would only want in this life what they can pass down. But to live for this life only is a curse. Though it seems like abundant prosperity, it's only transient. After this life is judgment and destruction for those whose portion is only in this life. Much better, the scriptures tell us, to store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth can eat it away or rust wear it out, can't corrupt or destroy. Better to receive that imperishable inheritance of eternal life, to be with Jesus and to be transformed like Jesus. And so David ends his psalm with a statement of confidence that when I awake, I'm going to behold your face and righteousness, and I'm going to be satisfied with your likeness. He knows he's going to see the Lord when he rises from the dead, that he is going to be transformed, and that whatever happens in this life, it's all going to be worth it in the end. So friends, may we be people who are marked by humility, not by pride. May our boasting be in who God is and what Jesus Christ has done to save us and to justify us. May we be those who look for vindication and validation from the hand of God based on the character of God. May we be those who have passion to walk God's path. May we be those whose words and actions match our hearts, that our mouths would reflect the things in our heart with good things and not those ugly things. May our actions reflect the righteousness of Jesus in us. And may we be those who live for the reward not in this life alone, not the accolades from others, but for the life to come when we meet our Lord Jesus face to face. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are a God of mercy and amazing grace, that you have paid in full for our sins, past, present, and future, that we are justified, Jesus, by your righteous work, through your death and resurrection on the cross. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who enables us to achieve those things which you call us to achieve, to be the people that you want us to be. Thank you that we can find our true identity in you. Lord, if we're honest, we all struggle with the sin of pride. For some of us, it's in who we are. For some of us, it's in what we've done. Some of us think we're better than other people. Some of us make excuses for the things that we do that don't live up to your standards. So, Lord, we ask that we would be people who live humbly in gratitude for what you have done for us, to your glory and your honor. Help us to be willing to pour out ourselves for you and for others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is number 370, Just As I Am. With